Welcome back to Matt's Basement Workshop. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Highland Woodworking. Visit their website at highlandwoodworking.com. And also by Lee Valley and Veritas. Visit their website at leevalley.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Matt's Basement Workshop podcast. Now on today's episode, we're going to be making this really super simple box. And this is a box I had talked about on Wood Talk Online. I'm building this for my wife for her photography business. What she wanted was just a very plain, very simple presentation box to send proofs and CDs and DVDs to her clients, especially her clients who were recently married. She does a lot of wedding photography, totally available. I'll get you the website if you're interested. But anyways, what we have here is nothing more than just, in this particular situation, some birch plywood. We've also used what's referred to as sanded plywood. We're not really too concerned about exactly the species. We just want something that's going to work really simple. We want plywood that doesn't have a lot of voids. In fact, typically when we're looking at the material, whatever sheet I'm going with, I often now will purchase a handy sheet, a 2-foot by 4-foot long sheet, and I always end up looking at the edges. Now, even on a large sheet, sure, in the middle somewhere there'll be voids, but you can really get a feel for how many voids there's going to be by looking at the edges on the larger sheet itself. And if there are a lot of voids, we'll usually end up passing by that one. We also, of course, are looking at the veneers themselves. One thing that I'm really concerned with is I want the veneer to be thick enough so that when I sand this, because we want this to be touchable smooth, when I end up sanding it, I don't want to blow through the veneers, because after all, we know some of the crappy plywood that we've been getting these days, that happens quite a bit. But lately, I've been able to find some really nice stuff, even at the big box stores. In fact, typically, I don't mention big box stores by name, but one that I've been getting some nice stuff from is Menards, and I'm really, really happy with it. So kudos to them for buying the good stuff. Now, along with just the simple veneers itself, the joinery is really, really simple. It's nothing more than just glued up miter joints. That's it. There's no mechanical fasteners in here. There's no splines. There's nothing like that. I know many of you are thinking, oh, that's not going to be very strong. But what we're doing is we're gluing the tops and bottoms directly to the sides of the sides, or the tops and bottoms of the sides. And that provides a nice long grain to long grain joint. So really it is holding everything in place and there's less stress on the miters. But then again, also, this is just a presentation box. This isn't one that's going to get a lot of wear and tear on it. Typically, the client more likely is going to take it and go, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, good, our images are inside. And either, I hate to think about it, it'll either get tossed or it'll get set up on a shelf and that's about it. So that works out perfectly fine for us. You know, I'm not worried about it taking a lot of beating and everything. But it does actually, believe it or not, hold together pretty nicely. The top and bottom go together with this simple lipped edge here. You could refer to it as like a half lap joint, basically. And it just kind of holds together with a friction joint. One thing, if I tip it upside down, it's going to come apart. But then again, like I said, it's a presentation box, so it's just going to go up on somebody's shelf. I'm not too worried about it. But anyways, let's go ahead, and we've talked enough about the materials. Let's get into the actual construction portion of it right now. What I have been doing, when I made this first one, and we'll see this like the second or third box I made in the video, I was trying to come up with a really efficient way to make it. And since then, I have come up with one. If you're interested in learning more about it, just go ahead and ask me how I end up doing it, because I can knock out easily like 5-6 boxes in the same time that it used to take me to do just like, you know, one or two when I first got started. It's just a matter of, like I said, coming up with that really efficient way. But let's just learn how to build the box first, and let's get started with cutting the materials. The first thing we need to make, of course, is the tops and bottoms. At least that's where I start. The top and bottom in the situation right now, the boxes that we're building, are 7 inches by 7 inches. I like to keep it nice and square because, well, it works out pretty nicely when it comes to building them. Everything is uniformly sized. You could make them rectangular. You know, one thing I've been thinking about is playing around with maybe like some octagons or something, just some shapes, just to, you know, shake it up a little bit. But for right now, let's talk about these squares. What we're going to end up doing first is I usually typically will set the fence. In this situation, they're 7x7, so I'll rip the plywood down to 7 inches. And then, because we already have the fence set up, what I end up doing is coming in and cross-cutting at 7 inches. Now, I know a lot of you are like, oh no, you're cross-cutting, you're not using a miter gauge or anything like that. I have a splitter in my table saw, and that helps to dramatically decrease the possibility of kickback. Doesn't eliminate it, it helps to decrease and minimize it. So if you don't feel comfortable with just doing the cross cut the way I do it, just, you know, do what makes you comfortable and use your miter gauge in whatever way you want to. But at this point, I'm not going to get into more about it. We can always talk about this during safety week, how I end up doing it. So we cross cut, rip and cross cut to our 7-inch square top and bottoms, and we're now ready to move on to the sides. Now, when it comes to the sides, what I end up wanting is something that, after I do all of the cutting down the center to split it into the top and bottom, once I make that half lap joint, when everything comes together, in fact, we have some right here, and we'll get to this in a second. Once we get everything together, I want this total to be about 2.25 inches. So I need to set the rip fence to take into account, one, the blade itself. In my situation, my blade is a standard blade, and it's about 1/8 inch of a kerf. And then I also want to make that lip joint, we'll call it the lip joint. I want to make that also about 1/8 inch. So that gives me a total of 2.5 inches that I want to set the fence for. So I go ahead and I pull it over, and I rip the sides, of course, to the approximate width that I need. Then the next thing I want to do is I want to cut them to length. But rather than just simply cross-cutting them so that they're square, I'm going to go ahead and move on to making the miter joints. So what I end up doing is the top and bottom is 7 inches by 7 inches. So the sides would be approximately 7 inches by 7 inches, but I leave them just a little bit long so when I go to miter them, I can get them right at the total length that I need. So in this situation, if it's 7 inches by 7 inches, I'll usually leave this like about maybe like 7.25 inches, or even go so far as like 7/8. I end up setting up my miter gauge at this point, and I can see a reference on there where a kerf cut has already been made on the fence. I'll then put the side up against that, and I will make my first miter cut, and I'll run all the sides through, cutting that first miter on the one edge. Now, once I've done that, I want to flip the piece around, and I'm now going to cut the miter on the opposite edge. So I need to set up a stop block at the other end of the miter gauge, or the miter fence. At this point, I noticed that when I cut the sides exactly to the length and width of the top, again, 7 inches, when I came in to try and, occasionally when you're gluing up, there's gonna be a little play in there. It might hang over a little bit this way or hang over that way a little bit to help make it a little bit more efficient when I'm cleaning it up. I decided I wanted to make the sides just a little bit shorter. So when I set up that stop block on my miter gauge to cut the other half, the other side, I end up cutting it a little bit short. In this case, again, 7 inches. The sides I cut at approximately 6 15/16 of an inch. So set the stop block for that. I now start cutting all of my pieces so that the sides come in at the 6 15/16. All right, so now with the sides mitered at either end, it's time to rip them in half so that we get the top and the bottom. And then we'll go ahead and get into how we make this lip joint. It's really, really super simple. Now, when I'm making the top and the bottom, I like to have one be just a little bit narrower than the other one, just to help when you look at it, you know for a fact, oh, this must be the top, this must be the bottom. So the top I typically will have about 1 inch, and then the bottom will be at 1.25 inches. What I'll do then is I will set the rip fence for that 1.25 inch cut. And we've accounted for the kerf itself for the 1/8 inch. So as we are cutting it, it then takes it apart and we have our pieces that are just a little bit longer. Now, what we end up doing is once we've cut all the pieces, and in this situation, this is where like my micro jig really comes in nice and handy because I'm awful close to the rip fence, and any other type of cutting guide, any other type of push stick really just doesn't feel I mean, you can use it, it just doesn't feel comfortable for me. That really gives me an awful lot of control, and it helps to keep the waist side, which is actually going to be our top, from spinning out of control on me. So I'll get that into position. I next need to set up for that lip joint, and it only takes one single cut. I'm going to make the lips on either end, the lip edges, 1/8 of an inch, so the size of that kerf. So we end up setting up a sacrificial fence along our rib fence here, and then we will do some test cuts until we get to the point that when we put the two pieces together, they're as flush as possible. Now, when it comes to making them, remember we have the top and the bottom just a little bit different in size. The top's a little bit narrower than the bottom. So what I end up doing is I like to cut them completely separate. So I'll start with the top, and with the top, I want that lip on the bottom. I want it facing inside the box itself. So I will then push this right up against that sacrificial fence. Again, using something like my micro jig gripper, I'll then push it through, and it gives me a chance to push it down nice and tight so that the depth remains the same all the way along the length. When it comes to doing the bottom, you have to be really conscious about the fact that you need to flip it over so that you're looking at the top or the inside of the box, and you want to cut it so that that joint, when you're looking from the outside, you're looking at the joint itself. So you'll do the same thing. You'll then flip this, push it up against the sacrificial fence, again, push it through on the blade. And when you get done, just test it real quick, and it comes together exactly the way you want it. So just do that for all the sides. Again, making sure you know which one is the top and the bottom. I like to run them all through, all the tops at once, and then I can easily flip the bottoms, and that way I can run them through without thinking too much about it. All right, so we're almost done. Now we need to do the actual glue up itself, and this part couldn't be any easier. Rather than using some expensive clamps or anything that are specifically designed for miters, what I use is just simple blue tape. I start first by taping together the sides. Remember, they're just going to come completely loose. It's important, tape it on the outside, not the inside, because when we glue this up, if you tape it on the inside and you get all gung-ho and you put the top and the bottom on, suddenly you can't separate it because that tape is in the way. So I just put a little snippet here so that I get my sides joined up the way they're supposed to be. Then they're in their little section here. And it's just a matter of laying out the blue tape, putting them end for end, applying a little glue. And again, this is where we want to be extra cautious because we want to have the glue just kind of almost in the middle on each one of these. We don't want it to spill over so that it, again, kind of closes it, glues the whole pieces together. So you don't have to be too crazy with the glue, just a little bit to help hold it in place, because most of the gluing strength is going to come from when we put the top and bottom on. So then we just simply wrap the piece together, as you can see, and the blue tape gives you more than enough holding strength for these boxes. Trust me, I've made quite a few of them by now, and I've never had an issue with the blue tape or even green tape if you choose to use that. Once you pull everything together, check those corners. And if you notice that there's a little opening, take a little more blue tape and pull it really tight on there, and you'll get the joints nice and snug, and you'll be all set. Now, once we have these the sides all set, just set them aside. Let those glue up. We'll come back and do the bottoms later on, the bottoms and tops. I used to just simply do everything all at once, but I found that if I let the sides glue up, I actually have a little bit better results in the end. So, time has gone by enough. The sides are glued up. They're ready to go. We just simply take the bottoms, and what I like to do is I'll apply a bead of glue along the bottom of the sides itself. I'll put that in place, and again, I'll just grab the blue tape, and I'll start taping it into position. Now, I'm at the point now where I'm going to go ahead and also glue the top onto it. So, once I get the bottom nice and snug into position, the tape is making sure that all the joints are held in good position. I double check the grain direction with the top and the bottom because it just works for me. You could easily alter it because, I mean, it is square. And then I do the same thing with the top. I apply the bead of glue around the edge of the top portion. And again, I tape it into place. Once one more time, look at the edges, see if there's any gaps or anything. Apply a little bit more tape to it to pull it really tight. At this point, if you want to, you could probably apply some clamping pressure, but I'm telling you, the blue tape will hold it exactly where you want it. We're almost done at this point, so set the boxes aside, let them glue up, and then we'll come back and take a look at it and get everything cleaned up so that the boxes will look, well, the way we want them to. So at this point, everything's glued in. We're all ready to go. We've double checked it. It looks good. We can remove all of the tape and we'll discover that, you know, it's opening and closing exactly the way we want it to, if we've done everything right. And at this point, trust me, even if it's off just a little bit, it's no big deal. As you're looking at it, if you've cut the sides just a little bit short, like I was mentioning, you'll notice there's a little bit of a lip on from the top and the bottom. I just take my block plane and I start removing that material, but pay close attention as the blade starts getting closer and closer to the sides. You can easily come in and just get right down to it nice and tight. In fact, what I end up doing is kind of skewing my blade to register the bottom, the sole of the plane on the side. And as soon as it starts touching it, I can feel it. And I know at that point I need to back off. And if necessary, I can just clean it up with some sandpaper to get it nice and flush. If you want to, you could do a router bit also, but I don't know, for me, the block plane works really nice. So I end up doing that on all four sides. Typically, I'll start on the ones that will be the kind of end grain. So I'll get that all taken care of. And then what I want to do also is I want to chamfer these edges. In fact, what I'm doing is rounding it over. And I just use the block plane again for this. I start with a very basic chamfer. I get it going on 45 degrees, get that chamfer going, and then I'll slightly start making smaller chamfers along that line, and it ends up giving me a round over. And again, it has some nice facets to it. It feels good on your fingers. I'll do that on all four edges. I'll do that on the top and the bottom. And at this point, we're pretty much done. The only thing that's left to do now is to sand the box. And one thing I make it very important is I sand it by holding everything together. I make sure, in this case, I'm using my Moxon vise to get it up at a level that I can really see where it's going on, and it holds the box together. And I'll sand the top and bottom simultaneously. This will help to account for any little play that's in there. So if you notice one edge is a little bit higher than the other, you can sand it, and if your plywood can handle it, isn't too thin, you can sand it to the point where they'll come out pretty much level. So do that all the way around. And in the end, at this point, you're pretty much done. You can apply a finish if you want to. We really didn't. We just felt that there was no need to. Sure, it might dry out a little bit. Sure, it could kind of whatever. But we really like the look of this. And that's my super simple box. There's nothing more to it. Just basic plywood, basic miter joint, and a basic glue joint, a long-grain to long-grain butt joint. And that is it. Joinery, super simple. And like I said, it's just a half lap and a friction joint that holds everything into place. And there you go. So if you have any questions about this, I'd be more than happy to help you out. Like I said, I've come up with a way that helps me to knock these out super fast. But if you're just going to make one or two of them, yeah, take your time, enjoy it, have a little fun with it, try some different species, all that good stuff. So if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, don't forget how you can get a hold of me, mattsbasementworkshop@gmail.com. Or, of course, stop by the website at mattsbasementworkshop.com. And otherwise, you can even leave comments or such in the show notes for today's episode. So, anyways, I think this is pretty good. I got a couple more, actually, I need to make. Well, the ones I was kind of demonstrating a little bit there, I should put that together. That's one more box I need to do. So, until the next time, I'll be talking to all of you later. Straight grains and sharp blades. Take care, everybody.